This is episode 11 of Transistor for August 25th of 2012. Today we're going to be talking about trans journey, puberty, with translation boobs. Transitions is going to be breast augmentation. We even have an interview with DJ of Filth and Transonic, where we talk about nipple play, transformers, nipple clamps, and transmissions featured news items. And we have a letter as well from Rose of Northern BC. So listen in.
This is Transistor with your host, Velvet Steel.
Folks wanting to know about trans folks like myself and everybody else, because you want to listen, learn, and laugh. Trans journey. Puberty. Boobs. We all see them. We've all watched them grow. And I think it's one of those things that everybody seems to remember about when they are in puberty. You look at them, you pay attention to them, you want to touch them, you want to ask about them, you want to see what they look like. And, you know, for kids nowadays, puberty seems to be happening earlier and earlier and earlier. And for me, my puberty wasn't the most exciting of times, but it was also the most interesting of times. And some of it was fun, some of it was weird. And I know when I hit grade 7 and started doing those lovely things of growing pimples and greasy hair and all these other different things, I started growing boobs. And, you know, still maintaining myself as a skinny kid. And I was quite skinny for quite some time, and I didn't understand why I couldn't gain weight. And as much as I was trying to work out and eat and do all the other stuff, there I was with pimples. There I was with greasy hair, and suddenly I had mosquito bites for boobs. What the hell was that all about? I didn't even grow pubic hair. I wasn't growing any hair on my legs. All the other boys in class were seeming to grow all this lovely, fancy hair. And of course, they were growing it in the areas where they would be growing it. The pubes, the area of the crack of their ass, all these different things. And yes, I couldn't stop watching them because, you know what? In gym class, the first thing that we had when we were in grade 7 going into the new school happened to be showers. Oof. The group shower. Well, that was the most painful and horrific experience for me, even though I decided I wasn't going to do that at a certain point. I wasn't taking a shower because I was still in there with a body of a 10-year-old. Mind you, I'm standing there with all these hot guys and they're really built. And well, it's a little hard for me to keep the eyes and focus on one particular spot when I'm trying to look at, oh, Mr. Richard there with a huge crotch, whoa, and hair up the crack of his ass. You know, I'd never seen hair up the crack of someone's ass before. That was really quite weird. And there I was with these little mosquito bite boobs. And, you know, they just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And needless to say, I started getting a waist. I started getting hips. I started growing in an opposite direction. And I didn't know what the hell was going on at that point in time. And I just decided that I was going to keep myself all covered up. And I never did get strong and get the muscles that the boys were getting in gym class and in their pubic years there in grade 7. And I guess it didn't take, it did take a while for me to keep on growing. But for a lot of the other boys, it didn't take that long. And they were all pretty much grown up, tall, and happening. I know one thing for me that did happen in terms of growing up really fast and growing really hard was growing pains. Wow. Not only did I have really sore nipples the whole time around and having these, you know, distended things that looked like they were stretched, like someone had put saran wrap over my body, then pulled it really tight. That's what it looked like. Basically, picture a balloon. Blow it up and twist it really tight and then scratch it. That's what they look like and that's what they felt like. So along with that and that burning sensation and itch of the nipples growing and stuff like that, I had growing pains, guess where? In my legs. So I shot up from someone who was basically, I think it was just over 4'10" at that time. And I grew to 6 foot in 2 months. In the summertime. So literally I came back after summer holiday and there I was at 6'1". I was so sore in terms of growing my legs and my arms at that time that there were times my mother would have to stop the car and I had to get out of the back seat of the car to walk around on the street because I couldn't stand sitting in there for the longest period. Of course, as I'm walking around shaking my legs out and arms out, there I was scratching my chest and doing all these other crazy, weird little things. And yeah, it made for some really interesting subject matter and really interesting looks and all these other different things when I was in my pubic years of adolescence. Not fun, not happy, and very conflicted. And there was nobody really there for me to talk to when it came to counseling about what was going on with my body because, well, you were sitting in your sex ed class and they were teaching you this is what the boys do, this is how they grow, this is what's happening to them. I didn't grow that way. I didn't look that way. I didn't do these different things. And it wasn't until later on in life when I actually met up with a counselor to talk properly about what was going on after going through all that nonsense that there was something different that I'm going to share with you on a later show. But growing boobs, they didn't fade off until I was well into grade 10 in high school. So there I was once again doing what most female to male transsexuals are doing, binding down. So it looked like I had nothing going on there. You know, and here I was with my long, greasy hair. By then it had stopped being greasy, but, you know, the pimples had sort of faded off a little bit, but I was super skinny. Tits, waist, and hips. I think I had a pretty good ratio at that time. And, you know, I left the kids in the school wondering and questioning what the hell was going on with me. Translation. Boobs. The art of the pass. Well, this is part two of this one. Most people wonder about that. And they think, what do? You know, how do you get that way? And how do you do it? And things like that. Well, I know for myself, when I was doing my thing, I had just decided that I was going to basically let the hormones take their course and let everything develop on their own before I made any future decisions about how I was going to present myself. I wasn't too worried about it because I'd already gone through my pubic years, my adolescence of growing actual boobs when my hormones started to run rampant through my body. That was really quite weird. So I think I was really well prepared and well equipped to deal with that. And I decided that I wanted to see what was going to happen again when the hormones did. And they did start to grow. They grew fast. And I would say that my boobs grow into tits, boobs, breasts, teeth, and whatever you want to call them. Mosquito bites, too, is another one that was thrown at me. They grew into a 36, you know, small B kind of cup, things like that. But I got into learning and knowing more about other individuals as well that were out there and how they would stuff with Kleenex. And, you know, stuffing with Kleenex was, I think that was one of those things that most of the people in high school have, you know, heard about and talked about because, yes, there was a lot of girls who were stuffing with Kleenex and there were a lot of girls who were having that Kleenex fall out of their boobs. And there were a few that I was in high school with that just didn't give a shit. And if they had a runny nose, well, you found them and you saw them reaching into their top and pulling it out to blow that nose. And it was really quite hilarious as far as that goes. But Stuffing with the tissue. And a lot of other individuals, I couldn't figure out what was going on until I started asking questions. And I'm one that asked questions. And they would be using balloons. And they would fill them up with water. And then they would tie the knot. And then they would put them in. And so the knot would actually look like the nipple in their bra. I thought that was kind of interesting. Which brings to mind another incident that happened with me. You know, there are those lovely gel-filled bras out there so women can get really bigger. And I have to say, in all honesty, I think that's a little bit misleading. You know, can you imagine yourself being one of those guys and you're getting home with that individual there and suddenly you're thinking that they got a nice rack on there and off comes a bra and there's nothing there. Well, a little disappointing. But anyway, I didn't know that those bras, those push-up bras with those little things, they're actually filled with mineral oil. Yes, mineral oil. Mineral oil helps to get those boobs up there and feeling soft and you put your flesh in and you pull it in there. And there I was with my push-up bra with the mineral oil inserts in there thinking, oh, I was so hot and sexy looking good. And the proverbial colored pastel shirt on. And I went to touch myself and didn't know what was going on because it felt really wet until I looked down and saw that, well, one of those inserts had actually broke. And there I was with a nice big oily patch on my chest thinking, oh God, what am I going to do here? It needs to say a quick trip to the bathroom and a coat over top. And I was on my way home with what was a boob or bra job that I was never going to be doing again. But on top of that, you know, here all these people are putting all these things in their chest, and companies have come along and did come along that were making inserts for women who were victims of, well, breast cancer, mastectomies and things like that. And silicone's that lovely substance that are putting in there that actually sort of feels real, but kind of doesn't feel real. And there's also the saline that they're putting inside some of these inserts as well. And then there's other ones that are a little bit more firmer to the touch. You can get those at the local sex shop, and they're usually about $10, and they're rock hard. I love screwing around with those, especially on the crossdressers. But we're going to talk about that on a later date, especially under my trans sonic, when my dirty little crossdressers come through. But oh, I'm not going to go there. But yeah, so you have all these different kinds of things like that people are putting inside to make themselves look fuller and firmer and have that lovely breast augmentation going on. And they have a big market cornered. And we have a lovely group of people here in Richmond, BC, that the Breastform shop, and they're selling them readily and quite availably. And they realize that their market happens to be not only women of mastectomies and those kinds of survivors, but also the crossdressers. Crossdressers are a big portion of that market, and they're buying these things. Not only are they getting these things for, you know, for fun, but they're getting them for projection. Yes, projection off the chest. They're also getting them for side projection, so that if you have your arms up, you're seeing some rounding from the sides on the body. These things are awesome. They're amazing. And a lot of people are wearing those, and they're looking really good. But I do have to stress, you know, having been a salon owner for a number of years, and you're leaning over your client there, and you've got them sitting back in the sink getting a shampoo, make sure those tits are properly attached to that chest or inside that bra properly, because you don't want to have happening what a business partner of mine had happen. And it fell right out and smack on the forehead of a client, a male client, one of those ones who wasn't quite sure about what was going on with her transition and her gender change. And needless to say, I was laughing my ass off, as I would always do. Kind of one of those things, you know, when you're roller skating and somebody's roller skating in front of you and they fall flat on your ass. The minute you start to laugh, well, you're on your ass too. Well, I was laughing my ass off, and I don't remember what happened, but it was just so funny. Of course, we never did see that guy back to the salon after that, but... Transitions. Breast augmentation. There's lots of different types. Lots of different methods. Lots of different things going on with that. But, you know, having been friends and still am friends with a lot of strippers out there in my years and doing these different things, of course, what are they doing? What are you seeing? Well, you're seeing a lot of big boobs, big, huge, ginormous titties. Oh my God, tits, you know. The guys in high school would always say, if it's more than a handful, then it's a waste. Well, to those guys who would always say that, if it's more than a handful, you don't know what the fuck you're doing. That's the bottom line with that one. But, you know, for all my girlfriends out there who are strippers and getting their breasts all done, that was certainly an eye-opening experience for me in terms of learning about what was out there. And at the time that they were getting theirs done, silicone was still a new substance on the market. Saline had been around for a while. And then there was also the MEM implant. And the MEM implant, I'm going to start with that one, is a substance that was made similar to a sponge, like a sea sponge. And the whole idea behind the MEM implant was that once inserted into the chest cavity, that it would actually have all the body cells and would grow through it, and they would adhere to it and keep it in shape and do all these other different things and keep the body looking natural as possible. Well, in theory, good idea, but if you go and look this one up on the internet, you'll see there's pretty horrific results of what ended up happening down the road with the MEM implant. Not only did the body adhere to it and grow through, the cells grow through the sponge-like mass that was in there, white blood cell counts elevated, and the body's immune system went into overdrive and starting to deplete that substance, basically eating it up and developing a hard capsule around there, leaving people disfigured. Growing into cancer, growing into lumps and separating and doing all those different things and leaving them with autoimmune deficiency diseases as well. And when it came time to have these things removed at the time that they were due, there was nothing really left except a mass of flesh that had grown through the sponge that had basically liquefied and turned into this ugly, disgusting mass. Now, That's not to say that the other two as well that are also in silicone bags, the silicone is in a bag, which is also made of silicone. The saline's in a bag that's also made of silicone. And depending on what kind of a person you are and how quick your body is to start activating its immune system, you can develop a hard encapsulated breast that will actually harden over time and actually compress and smaller and smaller and smaller until it is somewhat of a hardened tennis ball, golf ball size kind of thing. And when it's removed and that encapsulated scar tissue is actually cut open, that ball that was inside there, that was something, say, the size of maybe a grapefruit or a small orange, comes back to its original size. So that's what happens. And that's not to say that that happens to everybody, but something that I noticed in terms of health and care and things like that of your boobs is massage is essential. And to keep them looking good, you've got to get in there and massage those babies every day. And I don't see that as a problem. And I'm sure many of you out there don't do that. But anyway, back to the process of transitions and breast augmentation. For me, I had made the choice of going with saline because I wasn't really quite clear on the whole idea of the silicone, and I didn't want to go with silicone. I wanted to have something that's going to feel a little bit more weighty and meaty to me as far as that goes, because when I press the skin and compress the skin, it pops back and snaps back, much like there's water inside there. Whereas if I'm feeling silicone, it seems to have a slow memory. It snaps back into its shape much slower than what saline does, or your own natural skin, or even on your leg by even pressing your thigh. And you'll notice that and you'll see that. And sitting in that doctor's office when I was making the decision as to what I wanted to do, that was what I chose, was the saline. Now, at the time that I was going for these kinds of things, silicone had been pulled off the market. But in the medical profession's underhanded way, they were starting to push what was called cohesive gel through. And here we are sitting here signing our lives away if we decide to go for cohesive gel. Well, cohesive gel, just another word for silicone. And that was told to me by my doctor. And so that really quite didn't make sense to me. So I guess the next thing up on the list was for the type of implant that I was going to decide on. Did I want something round? Did I want a teardrop shape? Did I want it a little bit more flatter? Did I want lots of projection? Well, I decided that I wanted round with projection. And the reason I chose that is because that the teardrop aspect could not be guaranteed that the teardrop point on the top of it, where the weighted part would stay weighted on the bottom of the breast, and then the other teardrop would be under the muscle. Yes, under the muscle. That was also what I was going to do, because the doctor had decided and we had consulted together that my skin on top of my chest cavity is a little bit thinner. So to go under the muscle, it creates more of a natural flow from the top down around into the curvature. And the next thing after that was that I decided I was going to go in through the nipple. I went in through the nipple, didn't go in through the underarm, which maybe I should have done. I don't know why I didn't choose that. And I certainly wasn't going to go in under the cleavage, the breast cleft there, because I didn't want to see that scar. I've seen a lot of people with that kind of scar, and it still is visible. And I'm really happy I went through the nipple for an aesthetic standpoint. But having gone through there, I was hoping that I was going to increase my sensation and sensitivity with my nipples. Well, the opposite happened. I lost all sensitivity in my nipples. And that's not to say that that happens with everybody, but it certainly can happen with a good portion of individuals. So having had that done and going through that process, which was a general anesthetic, not a local, it was full on knocked out for 2 hours. And when I woke up looking under the thing, wow, they didn't look anything like what I was expecting to get. Because I remember standing in that doctor's office giggling like a little schoolgirl, seeing the size that I wanted to go. I was like, oh my God, this is what I want. After putting them in the bra, which I was told to do, bring and put them inside and see what I was going to get, they were really high on my chest. They were sitting up so high that I was like, oh my God, I hope they're going to drop and they're going to droop. And he needlessly assured me, my doctor, that yes, that would happen. And gradually over time, they did start to droop. And it probably wasn't for about 6 months later, but they still sat super high, super brand new, super everything. And I was like, whoa. And they hurt. Yes, they did hurt. And they were seriously bruised, black and blue. So if you're going in there thinking that you're going to have something that's going to look gorgeous right off the bat, you may as well forget that one. But really research your options, because in the end, I'm happy I did go under the muscle. I am happy that I went through the nipple. Sensitivity is somewhat coming back. And the sensation, the lack of at that time around the nipple, well, it's not so bad. But I can say that I feel much more whole. And I understand what women talk about when you know, especially biological women, when they've had a breast removed due to cancer. It's really traumatic. I mean, it's a very serious, strong portion of a woman's femininity, your breast and your presentation of it, and how good you feel with that. Now, one thing that people always ask me about this, for myself in particular, is how does that affect with the hormones? Well, I can say that my breasts are still in a growing process with my hormones, because the hormone adjustment is an ongoing process. As we age and as our bodies go through all these different things, hormones need to be adjusted, need to be checked on a continual basis. And that has left my breasts growing from a 36C, a nice full 36C, to now a 36F. Yes, a 36F. Those are big and they're more than a handful. And I haven't heard anybody say that more than a handful is a waste. Now, for an interview with DJ of Filth, a local pornographer and comedian who I ran into at the TNT Awards here in Surrey, BC.
Hello, my name is David DJ Roy, and I'm a stand-up comic, pornographer, and all-around pervert.
So there you have it. Velvet's still here at the TNT Awards out in the Surrey, BC. And DJ is quite the entrepreneur. I've known him for quite some time. And it's a little bit of a surprise to see him here with me at the show. But from what he's telling me, he's got some really interesting things on the go. Can you fill us in on those, DJ, please?
Oh, I'm working on a project called Project Filth, which is a tube site of all original content shot in Vancouver. We're dealing extremely in the gray area of pornography.
Explain that.
From lingerie, dirty talking, right down to full fisting.
Whoa.
And everything in between. If you know of a midget that's pregnant that will dress like a clown, I'm interested.
Okay, so having heard that, bringing you out to the TNT Awards, how did you hear about it? Because I just spoke with Trina. And her whole idea of demystifying everything to do with sex work and anything associated thereof. And I love her for it. So how did you hear about this? Let's hear that.
Oddly enough, the host is also a fellow comic. And he told me about it. And I was like, really? Because us in the porn industry knew very little about it. So I'm here to check it out. And from what I see so far, I would love to get the Vancouver adult film industry behind it 100%, because it's a nice award. It's a nice...
So you think this could be a bigger thing too, don't you?
Oh, it could be huge. It could be huge.
Are we talking AVN big like we have in Las Vegas maybe, or...?
AVN big is crazy huge. But I mean, we could have a really nice, steady event representing and appreciating all aspects of adult industry. And that's good, because it's not just segregated into, oh, you're only cam, oh, you're only video, oh, you're only erotic dancer, oh, you're only this. But it's like an overall appreciation of everything to do with adult.
Do you think by doing something of a bigger nature, and the reason I'm asking, because AVN is pretty much worldwide known in regards to what's going on, WWW, but... could something like this piggyback off of maybe say the Taboo Sex Show that's held here in Vancouver, or create a big, you know, sexpo kind of deal? What do you think?
It would be nice to coincide them. The only problem is the Vancouver Taboo Show co-aligns exactly with AVN's. So it's a tough give or go. But it'd be nice if they could coincide. Because it's just 1 week of sex. Sex, 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 sex.
And who doesn't like sex? Well, you know, the way I think about these different things is that we need some more validation going on. And that's what I really think this is all about. Because, I mean, no matter what kind of sex you're into, that's your gig. I mean, you know, as long as nobody's not being hurt, you know, unconsensually, that kind of idea. Or in my case, you know, animals, you know, blood, scat, kids, involvement, you know, that kind of thing. I mean... and as I was saying to Trina as well, I mean, sex is still kept behind closed doors and treated bad, but yet we can watch people being blown away on the news. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Okay, anything to do with sex, as long as it's healthy, I'm behind. And no one's getting hurt. And if it follows 2257 legislation, I'm fully behind it. And as long as everybody walks away safe at the end of the day and happy, I'm behind it. Now, people are more insecure about their sexuality than they are about physical violence. And that's what's wrong with our society is someone, we can't talk about sex, but we can watch death on TV. That's a sad state of affairs.
That's absolutely crazy. Now, from what you're telling me, what you're going to be wanting to, what you're going to be filming and what you're going to be doing yourself on your tube station when it does come live, and I want information as to where people can get to that. But that, I mean, some of, people might construe some of what you're going to be presenting as, you know, outside the norms or the means of what's acceptable. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, we're dealing with all aspects of gray. So if you're just in to, you know, lingerie, dirty talking, like girls wearing lingerie and talking dirty, we got that. We got, if you're a little deeper, we got that. If you're, you know, into really kinky stuff, we have that for you too. So it's more up to you, what do you want to serve? Right. We're not force feeding you anything, we just say, we have it, what would you like?
I think one of the key aspects for me is the fact that you had said consensuality. You know, it's between consenting adults, people who agree to this kind of thing. So anybody that I feel comes to what you're going to be providing and everything else and says something that really shouldn't be there in the first place if it's not for them, right?
Well, the key word is adult, as in we are adults, we are over the age of 18, we are consenting, and that is all our business is. Anything beyond that has nothing to do with pornography. Anything with child abuse or bestiality is just has nothing to do with porn, but more abuse and sick individuals.
Absolutely.
Well, I really hope that you can get the porn industry here in Vancouver on board to grow this award, which is a local award, into something bigger, because I really think we need to validate it that much further and bring it more into a public light, because I know it did get a lot of media attention in different newspapers and 24-hour magazine for one of them. And I think it was in Metro and a couple other things too, and I even cut them out. So I was really quite surprised and very happy that it was it got that kind of media. But I'd like to see it something bigger and a better venue. What do you think?
That'd be awesome. That would be awesome. Bigger and better is always good, but for 3 years going, this is pretty good.
I think so. So you think you're going to have a challenge trying to get the porn industry here in Vancouver on board with this, or what are your thoughts?
I'll have no problem getting the porn industry involved. All I got to do is text three people, and this place will be packed with porn stars.
I don't doubt it with you from what our history is. Anyway, babe, I want to know, how can we get access to what it is you're going to be producing? Is it live yet? Is it ready to go? Or what have you got? Tell me that.
Well, we just did CC billing and Visa billing, so projectfilth.com, www.projectfilth.com.
Spelt exactly like that, right? Good. I'm looking forward to it. Well, thanks, DJ. It's good to see you. Good to talk with you. And I know we'll be seeing each other again. And have a great night. On to some more. Bye.
Transonic. Because I'm supersonic. My life as a dominatrix. Nipple play. We all have them. We like to touch them. Some of us don't, but I do. And I think everybody has it in themselves. And one of the things that I was learning about when I was doing domination and getting into it was nipples. I had never really gone there before, never really thought about going there before, and when I came across that from my little trips to the sex shop and to the leather shop and all these different things, was this wide array of clamps, ooh, and all kinds of little things and pins and needles and ticklers and wax and stuff that you could put on them. I mean, the choices were endless, and I just thought, people are really into this? Huh. I think I'm going to have to try this out. So my next client, you know, early on in the days of when I was first exploring this, after reading all my books and things like that, I decided that I was going to, well, Once that shirt was off, I went right in for the kill. Let's see what those nipples are all about. And I opened up my fingers and I just grabbed them between my thumb and my forefinger and reefed away. Wow, what a response that was. I never expected to see that. Some eyes rolling back in the head. The loudest moan came out of that mouth and the head cocked back. Well, I was onto something here. Not only was I exploring with my own nipples at the same time, because it was seemed to be a highway of love from my nipples to my genitals and the rest of my body in terms of pleasure, but wow, this was something that everybody else obviously had that was coming to see me. So I started to incorporate that into my services, and my interest in nipples grew and grew and grew and grew. Not only was I playing around with stuff that I had in the apartment on my own, i.e. chopsticks. Yes, a simple act of chopsticks. I was, you know, getting money to go and restock myself or stock myself with toys and implements to use. But the chopsticks, the kind that we all get at the Japanese restaurant, the ones that we always rip apart ourselves, well, don't rip them apart. Pry them apart ever so slowly. Let them sit onto those nipples when you pull them apart a little bit without actually breaking them apart. Clamp the nipples between there, take an elastic band, and tie it up tight on the other end. Yo, that is so exciting and so much fun, and woohoo, does it ever really compress those nipples. So if you're out to save a buck, think about it. It's a real good option. Not only was that fun, but there was also the clamps, like the tongs. You know, there was the tongs that I would used to take spaghetti out of the water all the time, and I would be using those. I mean, yeah, I know I should be using one of those little scoops to get the spaghetti out, but you know, when you're cooking for yourself and anything, anyway, the tongs, they were on the nipples too. So I guess I was what you could call a kitchen dom, going through there and using what was on there, even taking a serrated knife. Well, not the ones that are really going to cut really hard, but the ones that you would use for eating from your plate regularly and taking that and lightly running it across that nipple, playing around with stuff like that. It was so exciting. I even one day got some sandpaper and checked that out too. That was really neat. That was really, really cool. And also I could elicit the same kind of response from these individuals, because hey, when I've got these things poking me and staring me in the face and they're tied up ever so tightly, beautifully tight, all those different things, oh, I just want to chew on those nipples. And yes, I did chew on those nipples. I'd get right in there. Well, you know, that was one of those things where everybody's all this, oh, you have to be careful, you have to be safe, you have to be this. Well, I wasn't breaking skin. I wasn't cutting them open. There wasn't any exchange of fluid or bodily or anything like that. So one day I just decided, as I leaned in close there, I just opened my mouth and clamp right down on those nipples. Whoa, was that ever fun too. You know, I just gently roll it between my teeth there and get them all going. And oh, to tell you, a lot of the people that I was having come over were coming back just strictly for nipple play. So there you go. There was one of my things that I was throwing into my advertising on a regular basis. I was into nipple play, and people do ask for it. And there's a lot of people who aren't into it. And trust me, there's a lot of people who really hate it. For some reason, they are so super sensitive on those nipples, just like they are on the glands of the penis and other area of the bodies. But that's another subject. That they don't even want to have their nipples touched. They really hate it. It's really quite painful for them. And that's something that you learn in the whole process of 20 questions when I have a new client coming through the door. So I sometimes just generally stay away from the nipples. And one of the things that I learned as well in terms of some more extreme play was the aspect of play piercing. Yes, I'm talking about play piercing. And that involves your syringes being inserted through the upper layers of the skin, not going below into the muscle. It takes a little bit of practice, actually. I shouldn't say a little bit of practice, a lot of practice, a lot of reading, a lot of information from individuals who are actually experienced players out there. And I do highly recommend that individuals, if they're thinking about playing around with this, ask, look, listen, learn, attend a workshop in your area if there are any available. You need to know more about what's going on. In the early days for me, there were no workshops available, so I just relied on the experience of others and talking to others and learning about them. Well, I had a couple clients who were asking me about play piercing on the nipples, and I made myself very well stocked with the needles. went out and got the needles, got them from the medical supply place, got my forceps with the holes through them. Exactly the same kind of forceps that they use in piercing today when you're actually going for body jewelry. And I put those on the nipples and whoop, there you go. Needle went right through. Kept that on there. That was fun. I know there's probably some of you out there who are squirming in your chairs now listening to it, but I bet there's a lot of them out there that are squirming in their chairs too, saying, whoa, oh, I wish someone would do that to me, because you know what? It is fun. And let me tell you, I wasn't just using the forceps on those nipples. I was actually just holding the nipple and sticking those needles through on their own. And there are lovely little clamps out there that I would love to use and just get on there so tight and keep compressing. I would just grab that chain that was joining them and just yank it off all at once. And all this stuff was sort of, I don't want to say trial and error and get in trouble, but some of it was trial and error. And I don't care if I get in trouble, because everybody's like, ooh, you have to be experienced. Well, for those of us who didn't have the workshops in my earlier days, and I'm going back a bit of time here, we just did things on the fly without looking and reading. We just went by intuition. And nipple play, I highly recommend it for everybody. Nipple clamps on Transformers. These are fun. And on the heels of my Transonic, well, I only think it's fair that I talk to you about nipple clamps. I know you're wondering, well, what are they? Well, if you're going to go into your local fetish shop or your local sex shop, and anybody that's actually specializing in anything to deal with fetish or S&M play, they're probably going to have an assortment of nipple clamps. Well, the one kind that I want to talk to you about today is Chinese nipple clamps. And these are the ones that you actually compress on the end. And as I sit here looking at these ones, they have rubber inside on the very tip of it that actually opens up to compress on the nipple when you actually release where your fingers are compressing to open them. And they're joined with the chain. And they are approximately, I would say, about 2 inches to 3 inches in length and about 1.5 inches wide. And they're quite fancy looking little guys, metal. And you can have them in stainless steel, you can get them in black. And they always have a rubber tip on them. And the rubber tip is either in white or in black as well. And you just compress them open, make sure you got that nipple pulled and firmly in your finger. And you let the compression activate on that nipple. Yeah. And what they do, because they are a stronger kind, is they're continually compressing on that nipple, forcing the blood out of those nipples. A little bit of anatomy and some science for you to listen in on and feel and understand what they're doing. So what they're doing is they're actually cutting off the sensation to the nerves and the blood being forced out. So there's that warming sensation that is tingling and burning ever so slightly. And you will start to lose sensation after a little bit, and it'll cause the nipple to lose its color. It'll go a little bit white. And that's when you have to really start watching things like that, because you don't want to keep the blood flow compressed out of those nipples for too long of a period. Other than that, then you're going to end up with skin going blue and starting to decolor and doing all these other lovely things and bruising and breaking blood vessels. And you don't want to go that far. At least I don't. I've never wanted to do that. I don't want to send my clients home with lasting impressions where they can get in trouble with if somebody else happens to see them. You get what I mean? So after that's happening, what I would always do for added sensation is grab those nipple clamps again and clamp real tight and real hard. And there's that rush of blood back into those nipples, causing that extra added sensation, a deep breath and oversensitized nipples that, well, need a little pinch or a little jab with my teeth. And I think they're fun. These are just one set of nipple clamps that are out there, and I may talk about some more at another time on another show with you. But these things are amazing, and if you're really adventurous in your play, you can just grab that chain while they're attached on both nipples and give a firm good yank them off. Transmissions. News from around the world. Some good, some not so good. But I want you to have it all. The Pet Shop Boys. They have a new video out, and in their video it tells about the winner of London Roller Girls for that matter, and she happens to be transgender, and her name is Dirty Diana. The Pet Shop Boys' new video for the new single winner features the story of Dirty Diana, a transgendered woman. Gay British pop duo The Pet Shop Boys have been making hits since 1980s. They released the video for their brand new single winner just in time for the Olympics, which started on Friday, July 27th. The video featured roller girls and all roller women girl derby league in London, and in particular Dirty Diana. She's a transgender woman and new team member who is supported by her fellow skaters. And just as a side note as well, if you actually go and look at the video, you can actually see them talking before and after the video, and I highly recommend that you do it. So Shaylin Scarlett, Dirty Diana's roller girl wife and mentor, says in the video, "I want to help her grow into herself a little more while she's playing roller derby and help her to gain more confidence so she can develop into the woman she's meant to be." The story highlights the inclusive message of the Stong and the roller girls, who are in an all-woman roller derby league that promote charity, teamwork, and confidence in women by embracing everyone regardless of body shape, occupation, sexual orientation, race, or nationality. Neil Tennant's words, "In desperation, you get inspiration. Capture the essence of the touching story the video has to tell. Dirty Diana's story is at heart a message of hope, perseverance, support, and the living in the moment, suggesting these can bring you closer to yourself, to others, and make you a winner." Tennant also sings, "You're a winner. I'm a winner. This is all happening so fast. You're a winner. I'm a winner. Let's enjoy it now while it lasts." Conservative US gay commentator Andrew Sullivan said, "It's one of the very few videos I've seen that actually celebrates the life of a transgender person. Wiener is part of the Pet Shop Boys' new album, Elysium, that is scheduled to be released in September. The single Wiener will be officially released in August, although it's available for download on the iTunes Store now. Elysium was recorded earlier this year in Los Angeles, and it's the first time the duo has recorded an album in the USA. The album was co-produced with Andrew Dawson, who worked with famous stars such as Beyoncé, Drake, and Lil Wayne." And here's one that's not so happening. Anyway, YouTube clip allegedly showing trans woman being mugged in Thailand gets 100,000 hits in 2 days. A video which allegedly shows two men punching a trans woman and stealing her phone in Thailand has sparked outrage from viewers. The 14-second YouTube clip, which has already been watched nearly 100,000 times, and I'm sure it's more now since it was posted on Sunday, July 22nd, shows a young man posing for a photo with a woman who its creator, Nart Namtasak, claims is a ladyboy. Suddenly, the man turns around and punches the woman in the face before being seen running away, clutching a mobile phone, which the YouTube user claims is her BlackBerry device. Two other men also appear to be involved in the incident, which Pattaya Daily News reports has shocked many viewers. Comments in Thai below the video say the attack appears planned, and if real, is a crime. Viewers say they hope the men are arrested and punished. I do too. It's not clear whether the video was staged or if it's, the incident is real. Transgender people in Thailand are referred to using the word katoy, which is often translated in English as ladyboy. However, the term is not equivalent of the modern Western transsexual woman, and the use of the term lady katoy suggests that the person themselves identifies as a man. Katoy work in predominantly female occupations such as in shops, restaurants, beauty salons, and as well in the entertainment, tourism, and the sex industry. And if you're interested, you can watch the short video of the October 25th Transistor episode page. Mandy McKee, formerly William McKee, says Propecia, this is a real funny story anyway as far as I'm concerned, Propecia gave her breasts and female posture. Okay, a man has claimed pills intended to cure male pattern baldness accidentally turned her female. Mandy McKee, formerly known as William McKee, began taking a generic version of Propecia finasteride in October 2008 to combat her male thinning hair. But instead of having a head of luscious hair as she popped the pill each day, McKee says she found her rock-hard chest from the gym begin to soften, reaching the point where she had noticeable breasts. On her blog, she says, "My shoulders were literally falling into a more feminine position, and my hips were loosening and becoming wider as on a woman's body." McKee began to gradually wear women's clothing, calling himself Mandy, as he felt more female than male. The hair growth was also minimal, if any. She also suffered brain fog, an increasing severe loss of focus and concentration, and lost jobs because of it. It is unclear whether gender McKee identifies as by the reports, McKee says. Brain fog. I just want to go back on that brain fog. Does that mean that most women are a little bit foggy in the brain? What the fuck is that supposed to mean? I felt like the old me literally died, and the only choice I made was that I love life too much to end it there. Now, however, I think it would be more appropriate to say the old me was killed by the drug company Merck. McKee went into transgender therapy and began to take female hormones, and it was then she realized that she was offered finasteride, the same pill she took for nine months. She's planning on suing the drugs maker, Merck, for $1 billion. Ooh. McKee now considers herself post-suicidal and is looking into breast augmentation and a full sex change. Lawsuits filed in 27 U.S. states by men who say the Wonder Drug screwed up their sexuality has been centralized in Brooklyn federal court. Attorney Mark Grossman says more than 300 former Propecia users experienced breast growth and an increased propensity for homosexuality. A Merck spokesman said no casual relationship has been established between Propecia and persistent sexual side effects. Well, I can think of one thing that could be something that you could do. Stop taking it. And if someone's going to write to the manner that they are in the article about how their shoulders were falling into a more feminine appearance or in position, give me a break. Transcriptions. I've got a question from Rose of Northern BC, British Columbia. And she's wondering how to talk to your doctor about hormones. I guess the thing would be to say is just go and do it. And if you're wondering how you should do it or what you should talk about with them as well, I guess the issue needs to be brought up if you are transgendered, because if you're asking about hormones, chances are that's what you're questioning and that's what you're thinking. For myself, I can only go by my own experiences and a few others that I know who are out there in the community that I'm a part of, is that we sort of did a bit of research on what it was we were going to do first. And thank God we have the internet and we have access to it and to Google and to all these other different places. And I just want to stress as well, Google does not have all the answers. Get as much as you possibly can and compile it into something that is a little bit more comprehensive is what I need to say on that. Well, because there's going to be certain sites that are going to say this is the end all be all and this is what you need to know, or the other site will have something that's sort of similar and contradictory. But get all this information together. You know, have a backbone, go in and talk to your doctor and say, this is what's going on in my life, and say, I need to discuss this. And if your doctor's cool, chances are he'll probably or she will probably start you off on spironolactone. And spironolactone being that anagen blocker, which allows the actual hormones to get through. And if you're male to female transsexual, it's going to allow the estrogen to get in and start making the bodily changes that you need to do by holding back the testosterone and decreasing its levels and decreasing what it actually does to your body and slowing down hair growth, for example, and speeding up hair growth in hair areas where you want it and don't want it. So I would suggest that you go in there with some information and don't catch your doctor off guard, because especially if it's a doctor in small town somewhere, if that's where you are, and I'm assuming from Northern BC, that you may not have access to something as someone in a big city would. Go in there, well prepared, talk to your doctor, and they may or may not be comfortable with it, and they may or may not be educated on the situation or the subject. And I would suggest that if that's the case, then find somebody else who is, or see if they can recommend someone to you, because you need to move in a positive direction for what it is that you want to do. And I certainly hope that that's something that can answer your question. Go in prepared, do your homework, look at it, and be strong and ask the right questions.
You've been listening to Transistor with your host, Velvet Steel.